is the Jeff Blair Show with guest host Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good Friday morning, 9 a.m. Vendetta on your radio. It's been a fun week. Thanks to everyone who's listened. And those of you who haven't, those of you who've tweeted, texted, sent smoke signals, said hello in person. And I hate to use the cliche that we have an action-packed show because there's no real action. It's just fun. For me, for sure, and hopefully for you. For sure, I sound like I'm from the Valley, like the movie Valley Girl. All right, so George St. Pierre today, Tim Bezbachenko, as the Reds are in action this weekend. I don't mean Cincinnati, TFC, against New England. Ty Domi, we're going to talk about road hockey to cure cancer. Ty is heavily involved with Scott McKay, former Leaf trainer, who also runs the Pro Hockey Experience. And, you know, in light of all the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge stuff, you know, and it's great. It's phenomenal. I did it. I know a ton of you have done it. But, you know, you got to remember also there's other charities out there and other charities like cancer research, which affects so many people. So many people. So many of us are affected by cancer. Friends, family, loved ones. So we'll talk to Ty and Scott around 11 o'clock. LeSean McCoy from the Philadelphia Eagles will be on the program. Jeff Garcia, who played for the Philadelphia Eagles, currently the quarterback's coach for the Montreal Alouette. Mike Wilner to talk some Jays tonight, the first of three against the New York Yankees. And Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter has had some great moments in his career. We have some highlights from Derek Jeter's career. Like game three, 2001, ALDS. We'll get to that. We'll play some of that. And Jeter's 3,000th hit. And then the legendary diving into the stands for an out. That was 2004 with Trot Nixon at the plate. Eugenie Bouchard, Milos Raonic advancing to the third round of the U.S. Open. Not easy for Milos, a bit easier for Eugenie. The NFL introducing harsh penalties on domestic violence. NFL season starting in 6 days. We have Johnny Manziel on the cover of Sportsnet magazine, but I don't know if you heard Kenny Hill. I don't know if you know who Kenny Hill is, but Kenny Hill is the replacement quarterback for Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M. And I know it's American college football, but you got to mention this guy lit up South Carolina's defense, completing 44 of 60 passes for over 500 yards. Guess what that is? That's more yardage and a more prolific performance than Johnny Manziel ever put in. It's the guy's first game. Now, look, Texas A&M has a pretty sick offensive line and some great receivers. But Kenny Hill wasn't even a discussion in the Heisman Trophy race. He's suddenly 20-1 to win the Heisman. And I was hoping we would get this guy because as many of you in Toronto, Southern Ontario, Canada, the world grew up, this guy, icon, and you know, you can use the word icon. Hyperbole is one of my favorite words because people just throw stuff around. He's a legend. He's an icon. Well, guess what? We actually have one on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, Hulk Hogan joins us. Hulk, how are you today? Thanks for doing this.
What's up, Joey Mania? Hey, brother, I screwed up bad. You know, I didn't know I was supposed to call in at 8:45. I thought it was any time between 8:45 and 9. I got hooked watching Oprah here in the hotel room because Drew Barrymore was on the TV, and they were interviewing Drew Barrymore, and I had to watch it because my ex-wife always told me I was in love with Drew Barrymore. So I had to watch this kid on TV and see what she's talking about. I just don't get it, brother.
Well, let me ask you, first of all, we have to say that Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler, there should be an embargo on them ever making a movie again together. That we just call the cops if that happens, okay?
Wait a minute, hold on. I love her movies, and I love Adam Sandler. And I'm saying it's not that I don't get it. It's just, you know, it's just that Drew Barrymore, you know, is kind of like laid back, and Hulk Hogan's a little over the top. Even in my real life, I'm pretty aggressive, you know, with the weightlifting and the beach and the boats and stuff. So I just, she's just so laid back. I just didn't get the connection. I didn't know, it's somebody that I've never met. I've had so many arguments over somebody I've never met with my ex-wife because my ex-wife told me I was in love with her. I just couldn't figure it out, but I had to watch it, so that's why I was late calling.
Okay, so listen, Hulk, let me ask you a question. Your ex-wife says you were in love with Drew Barrymore. How did that come about? What, just like a rant?
She said I was in love with Pam Anderson. She said I was in love with Brutus. She said I was in love with Vince. She said I was in love with everybody.
So basically your wife was jealous.
I don't know what it was, bro. I think I can't figure it out. It doesn't matter now, bro. I'm free. I'm cool.
How long have you been free and cool? I mean, you were always cool, but how long have you been free?
Well, I got divorced about 7 years ago, and I met this special lady about 4 years ago, and we got hooked up. But she loves wrestling. She lets me do what I want to do, and it's all positive stuff, so everything's cool. I was just trying to explain to you. I'm sorry I was late.
Hulk, you don't have to explain, man. You know what? Listen, I actually, in a previous life when I worked at a big rock station here in town, I emceed WrestleMania 1990 at the Sky Dome with you and the Ultimate Warrior. And at that time, and to this day, I think on many levels, one of the greatest sports spectaculars of all time. That was just so over the top. Tell us about that time in your life and that match.
Did you miss the match against The Rock, brother, in the Sky Dome?
No, but I didn't emcee it.
That was pretty intense, too. But no, the deal is here in Canada, there's always been this crazy love affair with Canada and Hulk Hogan, with Toronto and Hulk Hogan. I mean, even though my win-loss record isn't too good, lost to The Warrior, lost to The Rock, lost to Rob Ford arm wrestling, I don't have a good win-loss record here, but I'm still treated like the champion. And to tell you the truth, brother, I was watching some of Ford's shenanigans this morning on TV, you know, when I first got up and I was drinking coffee. I started thinking, I said, man, if I was a Canadian citizen, I could come up here. The country's so beautiful. The people are so nice to me. I said, I could run for mayor and take his spot, brother. It could be Mayor Hogan of Toronto.
So you're in town for the Fan Expo Canada, which is pretty much like the largest comic, sci-fi, horror, gaming event in Canada. I think it's like the third largest in North America at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. It's happening today at 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and then Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. You're there both days, and you can get tickets online, and it's like $149 for a premium package all the way down to a child pass, $10 with a free online coupon. So let me ask you this question. You get to do these things. You make these appearances. You seem like a guy that has an amazing affinity for your fans. You've always seemed to be a guy that cares about his fans.
Well, brother, the fans have been with me even when everything else went away. I mean, they've been with me through all the highs, and they're loyal to a fault, and they're just so nice to me. And, you know, some people on the airplanes and when I'm at the hotel, they say, oh, don't you get tired of this? Don't you get tired of people bum-rushing you and attacking you and asking for pictures and autographs? And I said, no, I thank God it's still happening. Are you kidding me? You know, the fans have been so loyal, especially the ones here in Toronto. I mean, they've just been so loyal through thick and thin. Even when all the chips were down and I kind of bottomed out about 5 or 6 years ago, the fans were still there. They were still saying, hey, we love you, Hulk, and we're with you no matter what, or we don't care what people say, man, we're on your team. So the fans have always been there, but it's just something like, when it first started happening like 25 years ago, I didn't get it, and then I got used to it, the fans, you know, being real aggressive and being really nice. And then, like I said, at this point in my career, 35 years later, I'm still grateful, and I'm just happy it's still happening, but it's like more intense than ever. Okay. Because, you know, after doing the reality show with my family, the fans saw, well, he's more than just a wrestler. He's a dad, he's a father, he's a husband. And then now that I'm back on TV with the WWE again and I'm back in the spotlight, even the really young kids, they come up to me and they go, they're like 4 and 5 years old, they go, Hulk Hogan, you're my favorite wrestler. I go, dude, you weren't even old enough to watch me wrestle. They go, oh, we watched it on the WWE Network or we watched it on YouTube. So it's really cool, man. The fans have always been there, and it's just they're like very special, brother.
At Hulk Hogan on Twitter, look, you bring up something that you said you bottomed out 5 or 6 years ago, and look, we just lost Robin Williams, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and you're in the thing with the look. Everybody goes through, and it's much more talked about now, but everyone goes through some sort of depression. Everyone goes through, you know, the trials and tribulations, the highs and low, and in a position like yours, your highs are extremely high, like very high, that most people will never experience in their life. And you look at someone like Robin Williams, who, you know, the comedians are famously guys, whether it's Freddie Prinze or whether it's John Belushi or whether it's John Candy, you know, guys who make millions of people laugh, and you've been in the position where you've brought millions of people highs and lows and joy. But then, you know, when you're alone and you're in the room by yourself and your marriage is, you know, has broken up and you've gone through a rough time, you experience those lows. You know, can you talk about your lows and what it was like and how you got you sound like you're doing well, you know, and how you got yourself back to where you are today?
No, everything's cool, bro. It's kind of like it's all like a timing thing. You know, sometimes things happen and life's this crazy journey, you know, and you got to hang on for the ride because the train's leaving the destination and it's going to go all the way to the end, you know, one way or the other, whether you're happy or sad. And for me, you know, I had a crazy time where I was married 23 years. My ex-wife fell in love with a very young kid, which kind of, you know, knocked the wind out of my sails. My son got in a car wreck. He had to go to jail at 16 years old. They put him in an adult prison. I was so stressed out over all this craziness. My body kind of shut down because stress will cause disease or dis-ease in your body. And so, you know, all of a sudden, all at once, I had knee replacements, I had 9 back surgeries, and when they're cutting on you every couple months, it's hard to recover, you know, and between all the anesthesia and, you know, your body trying to recover, everything happened at once, and it was to the point where I said, man, if this is, you know, how it gets, or if this is where this is going to end up, well, you know, this isn't any fun, but, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I've always been real positive, you know, I've always just said, you know what, that whole training prayers and vitamins thing was not a gimmick. No matter how crazy I was, no matter whatever I did, I always went back to that staying positive attitude. And sure enough, you know, like attracts like. What you think about, you know, you're going to attract yourself. I started thinking, man, things are going to get better and I'm going to get healthy. And it just turned around, you know, and like with the Robin Williams thing, you know, somebody asked me the other day that he, you know, like he said he would go into a deep depression when he'd have to go into character. And I said, well, for me, you know, that's not a problem because, you know, I don't overthink it. You know, I know it's entertainment, whether you're doing a movie and you have to be a Navy SEAL or whether you're doing a movie and you have to be a serial killer. For me, it's a quick transition. I just didn't understand that people, when they go into character, you know, they kind of like live that gimmick. For me, it's like I can be talking to you, brother, the next thing I say, well, let me tell you something, brother, the Fan 590 is going to be running wild at Fan Expo, brother. So I kind of like jump in and out of character without thinking too much about it. So I just bottomed out for a couple years, bro. It just took me, you know, bringing the nose up on this thing to realize how grateful and what a great life I had, and it wasn't over. I'm still here for a reason. You know, the career's taken off just like it did before. It's better than ever. And like I said, the fans are the glue, man. They're the ones that are saying, hey, man, we love you, man. You're not done yet. So it was just a short period. But I get Robin Williams, you know, not having that, you know, if he secluded himself or if he just stayed in the house. But that's not me, brother. I'm always out running around, you know, walking around at restaurants or going different places. So I see people all the time, and people are always positive. They always bring me right back up, even if I have a moment of thinking, oh, man, I'm tired or I don't want to do this. As soon as I see a fan or a kid or something, they say, oh, you're the greatest or we love you, it brings you right back up. So I didn't – that depression thing never hit me like that, you know, and I just kind of nosedived for a minute, and then I pulled myself right back up.
Well, fans can talk to you in person. We're going to talk to you for a couple more minutes, but I want to make sure I get this in because, you know, you're one of those people that can have such a positive influence on your fans and people in general, man. You know, positive people are at times very difficult to find, but Hulk Hogan today and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's the Fan Expo Canada at the Metro Toronto Convention Center, north and south buildings. And if you want to meet a positive person, Hulk Hogan would be one of the finest examples of that. And look, you touched on the reality show.
No, wait a minute, brother. Tonight, I'm at Dave and Buster's, too, man.
Oh, okay, cool.
We're rocking tonight from 9 to 11 at Dave and Buster's, so that'll be cool. That'll be up close and personal with the fans.
So Dave and Buster's downtown, right?
Yeah, man, I can't think of the name. Hold on, I can leave the name of the town real quick, but... just keep rolling.
So like the next thing that I wanted to talk about with Hulk was the Hogan Knows Best TV show, right?
That called Vaughn.
Okay, so you're going to be at Dave and Buster's in Vaughn. It's actually near where I stay and near my dad's house. So I'll come by and say hi tonight.
I love it.
The Hogan Knows Best TV show. I got to ask you before we let you go. You know, I asked this question to Sharon Osbourne. We had her on the show, and she said that when they had the Osbournes TV show, it was kind of like they put it on. They had no idea what it was going to do, and it changed their lives beyond belief. They couldn't go anywhere. The reality genre does something to people that makes them crazy when they meet you. Talk about Hogan Knows Best and what happened to you and your family when that show aired.
Well, you know, my daughter has been doing music, you know, since she's 14 years old. She's actually a songwriter in Nashville right now. She's got a album release party on the 29th in Nashville in September. I'm all excited to go up there for her party. But, you know, we did a one-hour special on VH1 called Hulk Hogan's Stage Dad. And it was the one-hour special was called Inside Out. And VH1 had several one-hour specials. And we did this one-hour special, and it was the highest-rated one they ever had. So VH1 came back to me, and they wanted more programming. They said, hey, what do you think about doing a reality show? So I sat down with my wife and my two kids, my ex-wife and my two kids, and I said, hey, do you guys want to do a reality show? And let me tell you, the downside is all the stuff you see happening to me, no privacy, can't go anywhere, people always talking to you, wanting questions, pictures, there'd be no privacy. Is this what you guys want to do? They all raised their hand. Let's do it. The reason I did the show was I was hoping that my marriage was already, falling apart before the show started. I was hoping that if we all got busy and we all had jobs, which some people never had a job, I was hoping that maybe that would give everybody a feeling of self-worth and it would kind of like bond us together. But it didn't. It made things worse because, you know, if people aren't used to working 14 or 15-hour days, it's hard to throw them in that and expect performances and dedication. And so we did it because of that. But what it did was it kind of like helped and it hurt. It put my kids on the map, but it also hurt my daughter's music career because people thought, oh, she's just a reality star. She's not a real musician. And for my son, Nick, who's a really good boy, he'd be, doing his homework on the computer. And the producers would go, hey, Nick, go fill some water balloons up and throw them at the neighbors. So they made Nick's character kind of like a kid that stirred the pot, and that's not Nick. So, I really didn't know what I was getting into, but if we had to do it over again, we would. It was a good adventure along the journey, but it did change our lives, that's for sure.
And before we let you go, finally, look, a couple of things. At the end with the Ultimate Warrior, there was a little acrimony recently with his wife, Dana, accusing you of a bunch of stuff. What was your relationship with the Ultimate Warrior like? We know, look, he died at 54 years old, and you talk about all the bumps and bruises, and we've had professional football players on the show. We've had, professional hockey players, athletes of all kinds, and agents. I've talked to sports agents about, walking into dressing rooms because now everything is so much more transparent, right? And with social media and the digital age, everyone wants to know everything. There's a lot more information out there, but you hear the stories of the old adage of the show must go on. So if Hulk Hogan's hurting and he's in pain, just give him something to get him to perform. What was it like in the WWE? Was that era like? Because you sound like a guy that has his wits totally about him. But when look at some of these football players and you look what happened with the Ultimate Warrior. God, there's a price to be paid at times for this kind of fame and for the things that you've gone through.
Well, I mean, everybody steers their own ship, You can't put this on the WWE. WWE, gives you a huge opportunity for greatness to create a great career and to create a great revenue stream for your family. And depending how hard you work, how talented you are and how healthy you are, the sky's the limit. So, you know, you can't put it on the WWE because it's a great place that provides a huge opportunity for these athletes. My relationship with the Warrior was always cool, brother. I mean, we hung out. We did a lot of stuff together. As a matter of fact, the last time I saw him before WrestleMania, he was at my house. He'd flown with me. I had a plane when I was working with Ted Turner in WCW. He came home and to my house. And he hung out at the pool with my kids. He stayed at the house 2 or 3 days. Fast forward, I don't see him for 15 years. All this crazy stuff goes on the internet that, you know, he was saying about me and Kevin Nash and Vince McMahon and Triple H and just all kind of crazy stuff. And we go to WrestleMania, and I'm dying to see this guy because my life's changed. I'm positive. I'm happy. I just want to shake his hand and say, hey, brother, I love you. And whatever I did to cause any turbulence, and I'm not sure what that was, I apologize for it, but can we start over and regroup? And I went to New Orleans for WrestleMania, and they told me I wasn't allowed to talk to him. They said, we want the Warrior to have a great weekend with the Hall of Fame and WrestleMania, and you know, we don't want you to talk with him. So he was staying at a house outside of town somewhere. The rest of us were staying at a hotel. And so I was going to honor, you know, the WWE's wishes. And the first night at the Hall of Fame, they sat me right in the front row in the very middle, which was very uncomfortable. And, you know, the Warrior did a speech, and he was sweating a lot. The next night at WrestleMania, the Superdome is such a big building. It's about 10 miles around. If you ride a circle in a golf cart, it feels like maybe it's only two, but it's a huge building, and as I had to go do an interview, I was on the golf cart with my son, and somebody was driving, and we rode down the hall, and he goes, stop, stop, stop. You know, the Ultimate Warrior was standing there in his three-piece suit, and he was sweaty, and I think he had his eyes closed. He was trying to remember what he was ever trying to remember, and I jumped off the golf cart, and against the WWE's wishes, I went up and talked to him. I said, hey, brother, you know, whatever I did, I apologize for. I love you, man. I'd love to be friends with you. I'd love to do business, whatever, but I just want to let you know, on my side, I'm cool. I love you, man. And whatever went down, I want to end it. And little did I know that WWE had a camera following the Warrior around. And, you know, he accepted my apology. He apologized, too. You know, he had said a bunch of stuff that wasn't true. And we were cool. And then a couple days later, he passed away, and I was so happy that I got to talk to him, you know. I really was so glad. If I didn't stop and talk to him, I probably would have never, you know, I'd have regretted it.
Yeah, and you know what? That's what life's about. And if you don't have those moments where you make amends and you talk to people and you get it off your chest, then you know you have to live with that regret. And thanks for sharing that story, Hulk. It's greatly appreciated. And once again, if you want to say hi to Hulk Hogan, he's at Dave and Buster's.
But, you know, as far as the Warrior's wife, I don't know his wife.
Sure.
And I just met him and his wife and his kids at WrestleMania, and you know, I saw the blog or the statement that she made. I didn't understand it because as soon as I was on the road, and as soon as he passed away, you know, I called the people that are locally in Florida. I said, get the address from the office and flowers, send our condolences. You know, just you know, make sure that you know all this stuff's taken care of. Send the you know flowers to wherever they're having the wake. I mean, I was on it, and I thought we were cool. And then all of a sudden, I see. A month later or so, I saw what you saw. You know, she had something to say about me. My first thought was, you know, there's so many fake Hulk Hogan accounts. Maybe I thought it was a negative fan that might mm-hmm. be doing something. So I never had confirmation if it was really her or wasn't her. But, you know, I've said nothing but positive things about Jim ever since. Everything I've talked about has always been like what we just talked about, telling the truth of what happened when I get to see him. And so I just didn't understand it, and I didn't acknowledge it, and I just can't imagine that, you know, she would pass any type of negativity on or lead by that type of example with those beautiful kids she's got. So I just wrote it off as maybe someone was goofing or spoofing or not. It wasn't really her, so I didn't even acknowledge it. Yeah.
Well, listen, thanks again for doing this. Greatly appreciated. Fan Expo Canada. You can check out Hulk Hogan also tonight at Dave and Buster's in Vaughan, but also at the Fan Expo at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. That is happening today from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and tomorrow 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. You can get tickets on site. Hulk, thanks a lot for doing this, and hang on the line. I know the producers want to say a quick hello to you, but thanks again, and thanks for all the positive stories, and good luck with everything, man. It was really great to talk to you.
No, brother, I'm all excited about getting dressed and running over there in a few minutes, man. It'll be a great day, and I love being back in Canada. I got one question I got to ask you.
Yeah.
If I did live here, and I was a Canadian citizen, do you think I could beat Rob Ford?
Oh, no question.
Okay, because I didn't know if he's running again or if he's still popular.
Well,
he's
gone up in the polls. You know, John Tory is one of the other guys running, but Ford is a little bit up in the polls, astonishingly enough. But listen, if Hulk Hogan said he was running for mayor of Toronto, landslide.
Wow, man.
I'm going to take calls after we get off the air and ask listeners if they would vote for you for mayor over Rob Ford. That's actually a great topic. So what I'll do is we'll get it to your PR guy. We'll get the results to your PR guy. But thanks again for doing this, man.
So you might come by Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, I'm going to come by and say hi for sure. It's close
to.
Let me know
tonight. I'm dying to find out, brother.
All right, I'll see you tonight. Hulk Hogan on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Thanks a lot for doing this. We're going to talk now to Mike Wilner. We're going to give him a buzz and talk to him about tonight's Jays game. But that was great. Hulk Hogan is awesome. What a positive guy. And you know, as he said, he had a rough time, man. Like we all do. We all have our moments. Whether, you know, people see you when you're at your best or at your worst, you're still the same person. It's just how you handle the adversity. And Hulk Hogan is a guy, think about this. I mean, if you're not old enough to remember, but, you know, WrestleMania against The Rock and against the Ultimate Warrior. At that time, those were the biggest events in the world. I mean, they were massive. This is a pre-digital age, right? This is a pre-social media age. Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, in Toronto, at what was then called Sky Dome, was huge. And say what you want, whether it's staged or not staged, whatever you think about wrestling. As entertainment goes, absolutely massive. Just huge. Mike Wilner, who, from what I know, participated in several Texas cage matches earlier in his career and managed to come out the other end looking okay. Mike, how are you this morning?
Hold on. Tough act to follow, though. I don't know how I'm going to do that after Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, so Mike, I know it's a tough act to follow, but he was great. I don't know if you heard any of the interview. What a good dude.
I heard the beginning of it. I mean, it's Hulk Hogan. Holy, you know, I got nothing up against him.
He wants to run for mayor of Toronto.
I heard that. That's interesting. I think that's the best word for it. That would be very. We'd have two interesting mayors in a row.
At Twitter, you can hit me at Radio Vendetta. Let me know if you would vote for Hulk Hogan for mayor. You can copy Hulk at Hulk Hogan. So on Twitter, at Radio Vendetta, at Hulk Hogan. He's at Dave and Buster's tonight for his first campaign rally in the town of Vaughan. Maybe he can run for mayor of Vaughan, but I think Hulk Hogan would have a good shot. So do the Jays have a good shot tonight for Mark Burley, who I actually saw last night at the Jason Aldean show? Good guy. We had a good little chat about pitching and about tonight's start. Can he buck the trend versus the New York Yankees? He's 1-12 against the Yankees with an ERA over 6. Jays winning a couple of nights ago. They were off last night. And a big win. Look, Stroman pitched fantastic. Got 8 innings out of him, and you need to do that. Mike, what's the prognosis tonight versus the New York Yankees and Derek Jeter coming to town for his final series?
Yeah, I know enough not to try to predict the outcome of any specific game. Burley, you're right, has had his issues with the Yankees over the course of his career, and he got roughed up by them the last time he pitched against them about a month ago in New York. But he did have 2 solid starts against them in June, one of which the Blue Jays won, the other one they lost, even though he pitched well enough to win. I don't know. Mark Burley has kind of been a little bit mysterious. It's been great to see him rebound with a couple of good starts in a row after a run of 3 out of 4, including one of those Yankee starts where he was just terrible, and you could probably even make it 4 out of 5. You start to wonder about his age and about his workload and all of that stuff, and is it finally catching up with him? I don't know, but it was really good to see him throw well 2 times in a row, and hopefully he can do it again. He's really up against it. If he wants to have a 14th straight season 200 innings. He needs to throw 39 innings and over the course of the rest of the season. So he's got to start getting deep into games again and pitching well again. And it's what the Blue Jays need pretty badly.
Yeah, they said this yesterday when we were talking about Marcus Stroman and his performance in pitching 8 innings. And, you know, the Jays beating the Red Sox in the final game of 3. And how, you know, took some calls on if Stroman is the new ace, going to be the ace of the staff. But really, Mike, you bring up the point going deep, or at least going mid-deep and getting the 7. But if you're not getting 8 innings every third or fourth game from your pitching, we saw what happened the other night where, you know, you got to put Tolleson in to relieve because your bullpen is taxed. And, you know, I said this before, there are teams in Major League Baseball that have that number 1 slot and 2 slot where they're going to get 8 every 4 days out of one of them. Jays haven't had that this year, really.
No, they haven't. And you hope that you're going to get, you know, 8 innings out of your top guy or your top 2. And it's true, very rarely have we seen a Blue Jays pitcher, a Blue Jays starter, hand it off to the bullpen for the 9th and only for the 9th. It hasn't happened nearly enough. But, I mean, the Tolleson thing, that was a 4th straight extra inning game. And you know, it's very difficult to, especially when you've already given up 7 runs in 1 extra inning, it's difficult to get quality work out of your bullpen when you're playing in a 4th straight extra inning game. But that still doesn't change the fact that there aren't a lot of 7s and 8s beside the inning totals of Blue Jays starting pitchers this year. So it was pretty huge for Stroman to throw 7 2/3, and seven and a third, and Brett Cecil get the final 5 outs. And now, you know, after that and after a day off, everyone should be rested and healthy. And there's another day off on Monday. So, and then rosters expand. So hopefully a bullpen and innings is no longer a concern for the rest of the season, no matter how Burley throws today. But it would be swell to get at least 7 out of them, that's for sure.
Mike Wilner, before we let you go, and the Jays tonight, the 1st of 3 versus the New York Yankees at Rogers Center. You can hear the game right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and also on Sportsnet. So, Mike, before I let you go, really quickly, Derek Jeter, you've watched him for a long time. This guy has been the finest example of a baseball player, both on and off the field, for 20 years. First ballot, if not sooner, Hall of Famer. What, if any, is your fondest memory, or just an overall take on Derek Jeter?
Well, my overall take is that the myth of Derek Jeter far outseeds the actual player and person. I mean, I don't think there's any question that he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I think it's really overstated, you know, just how he's not one of the greatest players of all time. He's not. He's a wonderful single hitter who doesn't walk a lot, who played in some huge games with some great teams and was a big part of those great teams, is not a good defensive shortstop. It's an absolute joke, I think, that he's won 5 Gold Gloves. But I'm not going to spend the whole weekend crapping on Derek Jeter. He's a Hall of Famer and one of the greatest offensive shortstops of all time. But again, I think the myth far exceeds who Derek Jeter is.
So you don't think that the number of hits he's had in his career average, you just think that he's been gifted some Gold Gloves because of who he is as opposed to how he played?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's never been a good defensive shortstop. He's never been a great defensive shortstop. And when he was winning those Gold Gloves, he was already past the point where he was even a good defensive shortstop. I think that, you know, when the managers and coaches vote for that award, I think a lot of times you don't see a guy much unless you're in the same division. You'll only see him twice a year for a series at home and a series on the road. And a lot of times they'll just think back and go, man, that guy killed us. What a great shortstop. Or remember one great play he made or something like that. And, yeah, he's always been good with that backhand jump throw. But there's a reason that there's an old joke through Major League Baseball. It's just, you know, what do you call a ground ball that Derek Jeter's left? A base hit. Because that's the way it works. But, you know, he's got the 3,000 hits, almost 3,500 hits, which is amazing. He's got a career average well over 300, which is amazing. He's played under a harsh spotlight for his entire career, which is amazing. But when you look at his, you know, all-time ranks, according to Baseball Reference, about who he is and what he's done, he's right there with Tim Raines. And Tim Raines, in my mind, should be a Hall of Famer, but no one's given Tim Raines 97% of the vote his first time in the Hall of Fame.
Well, the only difference is Jeter didn't have anything in his back pocket and slide head first, so he didn't break it.
As far as we know.
Yes, allegedly. Mike, thanks a lot for doing this. Mike Wilner, you can hear him tonight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Jays, Yankees, the first of three. Derek Jeter's final set at the Rogers Center. Burley versus Capuano. We're back next with David Clarkson from your Toronto Maple Leafs.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Yo, maniacs. Hulk Hogan here, the greatest of all time. And I'm rocking and rolling with Sportsnet 590 The Fan with my main man, Joey Vendetta. So what you gonna do when the Fan 590 and Vendetta Mania run wild on you, brother?
That's right, baby. Vendetta Mania running wild on you all week. I want to say a special thanks to our fine production staff, Dylan Brown, Rachel Clemens, and of course, Travis Tex McKenzie for a fine job all week. And Andrew Nye with the updates. So we're taking a question on Twitter, at Radio Vendetta on Twitter. Would you vote for Hulk Hogan for mayor? And my Twitter account's blowing up, at Radio Vendetta. Still to come at 11 o'clock, we're going to have Ty Domi on, along with Scott McKay, to talk a little bit about road hockey to conquer cancer. And in light of the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, just shining a spotlight on a great event that happens here in Toronto in late September. Joining us now, Toronto Maple Leaf forward David Clarkson, who's been training hard this offseason. David, how are you? How's the summer been?
Really good. You know what? Sucks when you have a longer summer than you'd like, but got to be a dad and be around. I had a newborn son, so to be around them and get to spend that time with the family and able to be a dad is pretty special.
God bless your son. What's his name?
Colton. Not after Colton Orr.
Come on. I don't believe you. You named him after Colton Orr.
A name we always liked and to have a son was a pretty special moment after having a year like that and getting to have a little boy was pretty special.
Well, it kind of puts it all in perspective, right? And I've said this to you before, you're your own worst critic. You're the hardest guy in the world on yourself. And this year, look, it's a fresh start. And I said this to Kadri the other day. I think there's a couple of guys on this team that are going to have, you know, great seasons. And I think you're one of them. And the reason I think that you're one of them is that there's some guys on this team now that are similar to you in the approach to the game. And, you know, I had Dan Winnick on yesterday, and Dan's a greasy player. You got Mike Santarelli, who's pretty greasy. But when you bring in Stefan Robida and Roman Polak, those are guys, as much as they're not big names, it's the little things that win hockey games, and some of those things that the Leafs weren't able to do when they needed to. Can you comment on some of those guys that the Leafs have brought in the offseason and what you think they're going to bring to the team?
Yeah, and those names you just mentioned, I think it brings a gritty style of game. It brings, you know, not one player, yourself included, or anybody is going to be able to go out there themselves and win your games. You know, you always win and lose as a team. But like you said, I think Brandon's really trying to, and Mr. Nonis and everybody else, they're trying to build that style of game that they want, and you know, I'm just excited for it to start. Like you said, it's tough when you go through a tough season, and in sports and in life, everybody goes through ups and downs, and it's how you overcome it and what you do to be better for it. And luckily, I have a very supportive family at home, and you know, I went right to work. I went right to work at those little things, and it's a confidence thing as well. And with the injuries and everything else, it just kind of spiraled out of control for me, but I'm excited for what's ahead and these new guys in the room. And like you said, Winnie, I know a little bit, and Pollock too. I think it's it adds to the team, and it's tough when you see guys leave. I think, you know, Cooley and Jay and some of the guys we left were great guys in the locker room and really helped us as well. And you're going to miss those guys at the same time as well.
Look, we had Tim Leiwicki on a couple of days ago, and he said there's going to be some serious battles at training camp. And for the first time in the last few years, I actually believe it. I think there's a bunch of young kids ready to take some jobs. And with some of these new guys, I think you guys are going to have a really intense training camp.
Yeah, I think so. And you expect that after you have, you know, the season like we had. I think, you know, there's going to be some change. And, you know, there's always the game's getting quicker and younger and everything else. But I'm excited for it to start. I think it's going to be a hard camp, like you said, but everyone's starting to get that itch, and I'm sure the city is here too, you know, to get back and get back on that ice and playing the game.
And how much have you been skating in the summer? I imagine you took a little time off, but I don't imagine it was much time off.
No, I think, you know, I took a little bit of time, like you said, but I started trying to surround myself and get back into, like I said, just good habits. You know, I think getting your confidence back and getting back to the way, you know, the things that you did that made you successful. I kind of went right back after it and traveled around doing different things, training and stuff. But, I feel the best I've felt in a long time, and I'm excited for the season to start.
You know what? I think, you know, again, I think you're going to have a great year. I think you're going to have a bounce back year because this year there's no fanfare, right? There's no big signing. There's no, you know, Wendell Clarkson stuff, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think it's just David Clarkson, the hockey player, is going to get to be here as opposed to David Clarkson, the big free agent signing. And I think that's going to make a difference.
Yeah, you know, if people kind of ran with that Wendell Clarkson thing, I think all of us in this city, we had a group of guys that we followed and liked the way they played, and it just happens that Wendell was one of them, you know, and Dougie Gilmore and Gary Roberts, and there was a ton of them. I could have named a bunch that day that I kind of, they wore their heart on their sleeve when they played, and I think, you know, for me personally, I didn't let that stuff get to me. You know, what was being said or what was done, I think it's tough. It's tough on you, but at the same time, I don't follow it. I try to go out there and just play the game of hockey. And it was a tough year last year. But like I said earlier, I think everyone has a bad day, a bad week, a bad year. It's how you come out of it. And I'm looking forward to the season ahead.
Hey, we had Hulk Hogan on before you, and he was talking about, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, how bad he was depressed and how down in the dumps he was. And now he's more popular than ever, and he's happier than he's ever been. So, you know, living proof that it's not how you handle times when they're good. You handle, you know, the adversity. And like I said, I think you're going to have a great year, and I know you've been training hard in the offseason. And before we let you go, I have to ask, would you vote for Hulk Hogan as mayor of Toronto?
I was just going to say, you know what, I don't know. I think I was a big, I remember playing with my little Hulk Hogan figure when I was a kid, so I was always a Hulk Hogan fan, so I'd have to say he might have my vote just because that was one of the only wrestlers I ever had and played with as a little kid.
David, thanks a lot for doing this. Have a great season.
Buddy.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. That's David Clarkson of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And as I said, you know, when you get pressure in a city like Toronto, and we know hockey here is beyond religion, right? We love the Blue Jays. And if the Blue Jays, as I've been saying, make the playoffs at some point, the Raptors, it was great, right? The Jurassic Park thing was great. Toronto fans are going to get to showcase themselves in 2016 at the All-Star game. But Jays make the playoffs, and it'll be bedlam. But if the Leafs win the Stanley Cup, it's over. It is just over. And as you heard, David Clarkson would vote for Hulk Hogan as mayor of Toronto. In case you missed it, we had Hulk Hogan on earlier, and he basically just declared his candidacy as mayor of Toronto. You can meet him at Dave and Buster's tonight up in Vaughan, and also the Metro Toronto Convention Center for the big expo that's going on there today and tomorrow between 10 and 7 o'clock. You can meet the Hulkster. Tonight, the Jays, Mark Burley looking to buck his trend against the Yankees. 1-12 lifetime. Capuano on the line for the Yankees in the first of three. But still to come, before noon, we'll talk to George St. Pierre. We'll talk to LeSean McCoy. We will talk to Ty Domi and Scott McKay about the road hockey to conquer cancer. Up next, we will talk to a guy that played quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, played quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, and the Philadelphia Eagles, but was a big star to begin in the Canadian Football League. When we return on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.